Like to call to order this meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals being the August 26, 2021 meeting. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. All persons in attendance are required to sign in on the sign-in sheet in the meeting room on the podium. Persons willing to speak will indicate so on the sheet. If you will, please stand and join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for this day and for a chance to come together as citizens of this city to do the business of the city. Lord, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear and soft hearts and wisdom, Lord, to make right decisions here. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon these proceedings in Jesus' name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Before we get started, if there's anyone that's going to speak at this meeting, if you will, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. And if you're online, you can do this at home. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay. We go to the approval of the minutes of the July 22nd, 2021 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon. Is there a second to the motion? Second. Seconded by Mr. Plunk. We're going to remind me how we're going to vote on these. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yay.
All right. Mr. Plunk?
Yeah.
Mr. Condon?
Yay.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay. The motion passes and the minutes are approved. Do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you? Okay. Mr. Plunk makes a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Mr. Plunk? And Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay. So moving on to regular business, we'll hear the petition of 1825 Montgomery Street for parking and height variance number 21-001794.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. This first item that's coming before you today is related to 1825 Montgomery Street. The petitioner is proposing a multifamily residential development at this location, and they're requesting a series of variances pursuant to the requirements related to height and parking sections of the zoning ordinance. The subject property is a city block bounded by Montgomery Street, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Klein Street, and 35th Street. It's approximately 0.85 acres in size, and it currently is developed with a retail store. The intended redevelopment of the site includes the raising of the existing store and redevelopment for a multifamily residential use. The variances that are being requested today are before you on the screen. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the maximum permitted height, which currently is three stories, not to exceed 45 feet. They're requesting a variance to allow a four-story building, not to exceed 55 feet. The second variance is the variance from the maximum distance for remote parking. The petitioner is proposing to require or to apply some of their off-street parking requirement and on a remote lot. The ordinance allows that you do that up to 300 feet away from the use, and the petitioner is requesting a 460-foot variance to that to that maximum. The final variance they're requesting is an off-street parking variance in terms of the number of required spaces, and it's a 20-space variance that would be required based on the current design. The property is zoned TC2, which is traditional commercial. It's within the streetcar historic district. The proposed use is a permitted use in that district. In addition to the development review, it would also require review and approval of the building design through the Historic Preservation Commission. This is an exhibit that shows the site location located here, which is the proposed location of the building, and this also shows the distance to the proposed location of the remote parking area. This layout shows the proposed buildings for the multifamily residential uses and the off-street parking that is being provided for the site by the applicant. As you can see, they've also identified on this plan existing on-street spaces along Climb Street, Montgomery Street, West 35th, and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. All those streets do permit on-street parking, although those cannot count toward required parking. I want to mention, because it's important in terms of the variances that are being requested here, in 2018, there was a staff-generated text amendment that was adopted to change the maximum allowed height for properties within this corridor to allow them to build four stories up to 45 feet. There was a process that the staff went through in terms of stakeholder involvement. We worked with the city. At the time, this property and the properties along this corridor were in a gap in between what was then the streetcar neighborhood and the Kyler Brownville neighborhood. And the intention of that petition at that time was essentially to bring these properties into streetcar, closing the gap between the two historic districts. So that was adopted back in 2018. It was adopted for that district and also for the Victorian district when NUZO was adopted later the following year. However, when NUZO was adopted, that provision in the streetcar district was left out. Recently, city staff wrote an amendment to bring that provision back into Mid-City. However, at that time, the city council heard it, and they elected not to readopt it for this corridor. So currently, the height requirement remains at the three stories up to 45 feet. I do want to back up a little bit and show just the street view of the subject property, which is here. And this is looking from Montgomery Street. But as I mentioned, it is the entire block between Montgomery and MLK where this development is proposed. This is a exhibit that shows the proposed four-story building on the site and the proposed off-street parking. And this is a exhibit showing the proposed remote lot that is on Montgomery Street. The applicant is proposing to develop this property in conjunction with the proposed development with residential units and off-street parking behind those that would accommodate both these proposed units as well as would allow surplus for the multifamily residential development down the street. So just to go back to the site location of the proposed building where the variances are being requested, this is a 760-foot distance between this property and the subject property where the remote lot is proposed. So that would be a 460-foot variance. As always, you know, parking is an important issue and sometimes contentious in particular neighborhoods, especially we feel like in review of this petition and the amount of variance that is being requested, that the likely outcome of not providing at least a majority of the off-street parking or required parking off-street is that the on-street parking will become more prevalent in the neighborhood because it'll be the most convenient option. So although the applicant is providing, is proposing to provide off-street at a remote location, there is an existing surplus based on my observation of available on-street in the neighborhood, which you can look at two ways. You know, the applicant and his development can use that because it would be available, or you'd have more on-street impact based on the use of those parking spaces. As I mentioned, on-street parking is permitted on all the abutting streets now and seems to be lightly used because of the lack of active uses currently in the area. The area does have some non-residential uses along Montgomery Street, which use some on-street parking occasionally, but a lot of the east-west streets do not, in this area, do not use the on-street parking. The distance to a remote parking lot would only impact the users of the lot, so that's not as much of a concern for us. But the proposed lot that's located at 1508 Montgomery Street is approximately a 2 to 3 minute walk from the subject property that's requesting the variances. The required parking for the proposed development is 85 spaces. The current design includes 25 off-street spaces on site and 40 remote spaces, leaving a difference of 20 spaces. The applicant has contended that they can provide those spaces remotely, but they can also provide them on street. However, as I mentioned, we cannot count those toward required parking.
Mr. Lotson, so you're saying that even with the remote lot, they come up 20 short?
No, sir. They're here's well, let me back up just to break out the variance request. So the required parking for the site for the number of units that they're proposing is 85 parking spaces. They're providing 25 spaces on site and they're providing 40 remote spaces, which obviously gets you to 65. So the 20 spaces that is a variance request for those spaces, the applicant contends that they can actually provide those spaces with on-street parking, but that parking cannot be counted toward required parking, if that makes sense. So
there's two parts of the parking variances, one having it further away than required and also to be 20 short.
Yes, sir, exactly right. Yes, so those two things and the height variance are the items that are before you. I do want to also mention that on yesterday we received a letter from a neighboring property owner, Mr. Rich Ferguson, who is in opposition to the proposed variances. He indicated in his letter that the impacts of the development would impact both on-street parking. He felt that the size and design of the building was not compatible with the neighborhood. Because most of the neighborhood is two-story buildings. That was part of our contention as well in the staff report. And based on our review of the criteria relative to height, we think that the intent of the ordinance is to allow the appropriate scale of development that is compatible with existing development in the vicinity. One and two-story buildings are most common in this area, and the comprehensive plan identifies the property as traditional commercial in terms of land use. That designation does allow residential uses that are compatible with the character of the adjacent neighborhood. So we feel that multifamily residential is an appropriate use at this location, but the size and scale of this building is not consistent with the overall context of the area. We did not find that there were any special conditions related to this property. We think the property with the zoning of TC2 can be reasonably developed under the current zoning. And these variances are primarily driven by the design choices of the applicant relative to both the number of units and the scale of the building. Also, I want to point out that, as you can see on this exhibit, a portion of the property has been left proposed to be vacant for a future building. That portion could have obviously accommodate some of the off-street parking at this time as well. As I mentioned, we do believe that the land can be developed under the current current regulations, and there are no hardships associated with this property. Based on these criteria and our review of the ordinance, staff recommends denial of the variances for this project, and I'll be happy to take any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Are there any questions for staff?
We can consider each.
She can go ahead.
Go ahead, Mrs. Jarrett.
All right. I'm concerned about this parking lot. Not only are there not enough parking spaces, I have a lot of issues with this project, but I'm looking at the parking and there is a 20-foot wide drive to get in and out. If there is a car waiting to get out and a car trying to get in, they will not be able to navigate that intersection. Also, the parking spaces are 8 feet 6 inches wide. The minimum that I have ever seen for a parking stall is 9 feet. So I don't know if the city has a regulation about how wide the parking stalls have to be, but I mean, you're barely going to be able to open your door if there is a car beside you in that slot. Has any consideration been given to how people are going to get in and out of their vehicles and how they're going to navigate that intersection?
That'll be a good question for the petitioner, Mrs. Jarrett.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Plum.
So we can consider each variance individually, correct? Accept or deny them on three separate bases?
Yes, sir, that's correct, Mr. Plum. So each of the variances can be considered by the board separately, and the board can take any action related to those variances, whether it's what the petitioner is requesting or some other agreement of the board in terms of the type of variance or the amount of variance that you wish to grant or not grant.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, if the petitioner will please come forward, state your name for the record, sign in.
Yeah, he's on 35th Street.
Thank you. My name is Robert.
Can't hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. My name is Robert McCorkle from the law firm of McCorkle, Johnson & McCoy, here on behalf of the petitioner. I'd ask y'all to bear with me a little bit on this. It's both a large project and we have three separate variances to talk about. So I don't think the next item on the agenda, which unfortunately for you, you have to listen to me again on, is particularly controversial, but I do want to give a full presentation on this with the details. It's a little bit complicated. In my mind, this project is an exciting project. My client wants to inject a $20 million project into the middle of an area that has suffered greatly from both blight and vacancy for decades. Marcus gave a good job of describing the project, and we'll get in specifically to exactly where it is, but the corridor, MLK Montgomery Street corridor, particularly in this area south of Anderson, is pretty much just commercial. I mean, there are a few residential buildings in there, but it is a commercial corridor as you go down. The unfortunate part is there is virtually no commercial there. If you've driven in that area, it is a ghost town of sorts, because the lots are vacant. The lots, many of the structures are condemned, and many empty lots all over the area. As mentioned by staff, our particular project does take up an entire city block. What we're proposing is a, sorry, this is the wrong picture. What we're proposing is an 85 unit center for multifamily, and it is going to provide 25 spaces available on site, 4 stories in height, both a mixture of studio, single bedroom, as well as 2 bedroom. And so we will have a mix of options. And part of the thing that allows us to have that mix of options is the fact that we would have this additional 4-story in height. There is a huge demand in housing in Savannah. As you know, there is a huge demand for housing in this particular area. In connection with this project, as was mentioned, we are requesting 3 variances, including the 4-story of height, as well as having off-street parking at a remote site, which we are permitted to do. And I do want to make note that those count the same as on-site parking spaces. There is also no restriction in the ordinance as to how many of those spaces that are a project can be located remotely, what percentage of them can be located remotely. The restriction is that it's supposed to be within 300 feet of our building. This particular parking lot, which we are acquiring for the purpose of this parking, is about 760 feet from our building. And as staff mentioned, it's a 2 to 3 minute walk as opposed to perhaps a 1 minute walk. This lot will also add 2 additional residences. That was done through discussion with staff about trying to put something facing Montgomery so we don't have yet another parking lot. So the reason for those 2 variances is so that when you're looking at it from Montgomery, you're gonna have 2 residences facing, and the parking lot will be behind those residences. It's also worth noting, if you look at this map, the site location of our parking lot is located directly across the street from 1501 Montgomery. That is a 4-story multifamily project that looks almost identical to our project, except for that it is in fact larger and provides less parking. As we all know also, when you add residents, when you add density to an area, it ultimately leads to additional Main Street retail. It leads to other smaller scale residential in the area. This is exactly what has happened in other parts of this corridor. And I'm gonna show you some pictures between Gaston and Gwinnett on Montgomery Street. This corridor between Gaston and Gwinnett inside of the overlay is on the perimeter of downtown. As mentioned, it is ideal to have larger buildings with density as it lines the perimeter of the historic downtown area. All the new development in this area are large apartment buildings, 4-story apartment buildings. If you have ridden down Montgomery in this area, you have seen this is the newest addition at the end of the Bowery, on the north end of the Bowery up on Gaston. This is a picture of the Bowery. The Bowery is a 4-story complex. It takes up the entire city block and runs the full length of 3 city blocks as you're going down Montgomery. Further pictures of the Bowery as you're headed down south towards Gwinnett on Montgomery. This is the newest addition into the Montgomery corridor of a 4-story apartment building, which is called the Skylark Apartments. It also covers the entire city block, wraps the corner, which is what you can see here, headed back towards Gwinnett and towards the area where our project is. As these buildings have risen, if you've driven in that area lately, you have noticed there are brand new townhouses being built all around the perimeter there near Gwinnett. There are new residential projects being built. The Alice was redone and built there with 3-story apartments off the edge of it going further north. All of this, my office is located on Tatnall Street. We back up to Jefferson, so I drive past all of this all the time. It's been fascinating to watch. The street is going from an area that's been completely underdeveloped to, you know, a bustling area with apartment buildings. Unfortunately, this new development has been slow to come south of Gwinnett. And the purpose of our project is to try to be a part of that change. As we mentioned before, there is a project being constructed 3 blocks from our project on Montgomery on the same side of the street. It is a very similar project to ours. This is the building. If you rode by the site, you will see that Omega Construction had the entire site wrapped. The project is coming out of the ground. Andy Lynch did the work for this project. He's also doing the work on our project and is here today. And I do think that it is consistent. What we are proposing to do is consistent with this, which is the only development, new development in the area anywhere near us. And I do want to note this. This is what that site was before. This is typical of the entire corridor in the area in which we are trying to do our project. So this is the before for that project, and this is the after. I believe that like this project, our project will be a huge benefit to the area. It will bring people to the area. It will bring bodies to the area. It will put people in the streets in the area, which will ultimately lead to some of those commercial lots either being redeveloped for apartment and additional residences or for actual commercial to serve the people that now live in this area. And so now what I want to talk about is the criteria and spend a little time going through those criteria that were cited by staff and looking at the images as they relate to the corridor and what is supposed to be our neighborhood. And I'm missing one of my attachments on here, guys. It was a larger one that has the pictures. Sorry, this is a little clunky having to do this like this, and I apologize, but one of my main presentation item is not on here, so let me just make sure it gets here. Y'all can just bear with me for a minute. We can go ahead and start talking about the criteria themselves. The initial criteria for a variance request, as mentioned by staff, is general consistency. It states that the variance is to be consistent with the plan for the area and shall not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare. And that relative to the height, the intent of the ordinance is to allow appropriate scale of development that is compatible with the existing development in the vicinity. In the area around this subject property, as staff mentions, that we have one and two story buildings are the most common form of development. And so I don't deny that one and two story buildings is what's common in the area that's surrounding our property, but I would not refer to it as development. What we've got is dilapidated, vacant, condemned buildings and empty lots, which, yes, I will acknowledge is somewhat out of scale with a four-story building, but it would be out of scale with any project that was constructed on this site. She's gonna bring up my picture so I can show you. Thank you. In fact, arguably, the existing, what is allowed in the ordinance, which is three stories and 45 feet, if the standard is what exists in the area currently, what's allowed is out of scale with what is there because there is virtually nothing there in the exact area. So let's take a tour, if you will, of the exact corridor. For the purposes of time, I have limited this to the area between our parking lot, which is right here where my cursor is, and our lot, which is right here. This is the four-story project that is not updated in this picture, but this is the four-story apartment building that's going up, our parking lot here, the project right here. So let's just make our way down the street. This is the four-story project. It's on our side of the street. It's being built at 1501 Montgomery. This is our lot, which is directly across the street, and which is evidence of the state that it is currently in. As you move next door, there are two true functioning commercial businesses in the area. This, which is there's a Metro PCS store and a convenience store, and then there's also a gas station. As you move next door to that, you have vacant retail, abandoned retail, consistent with the area. As you move next door to that, you have vacant, abandoned retail, boarded up, consistent with the area. As you move across the street, this is on our side of the street next door to the four-story development, is a very large empty lot. There are typically dump trucks and other equipment parked out there. As you move to the back side of that lot, which is again to the south of the new development and between us and them, you have this building, which is a condemned commercial building. The building adjacent next door is a condemned commercial building. The building next door is a vacant commercial building. As you move further down, next to that, you have an abandoned condemned residential building. This is just next to the new police station. The orange sticker right here you see is the condemned no entry sticker. This is the beautiful new police station that has been built in the corridor in between our project and the adjacent project. Beautiful project, police presence there, bringing a lot of safety to the neighborhood. As you move past in between us and the police station, this is the back of the block. You've got an empty lot, which is used for trash dumping, and a building down here that has been condemned. This is the front side of the same lot that is immediately adjacent to our project. It is empty commercial that is used for a car wash out in the parking lot with some seating that's been created out here in the grass for people while their car is being washed. As you slide to the back of that lot, this is what our project looks at. This site right here is immediately adjacent to us on the other side of 34th Street. You can see it looks a little bit like it's been bombed. There are no roofs, they're just standing walls. People occasionally are living in areas of this, and this is what's immediately adjacent to us. I don't know how long it's been sitting in that state, but it's been quite a while. This is the building that is also on the back side of that lot, behind the buildings that have no roofs. And this is, again, an abandoned vacant building on the corner that we also look at with our project. This is what's directly across the street from us, unoccupied, unused commercial, except for, I think, Dave's Crab House. Is at the end of this little center that's across the street from us. This is on the other side of the street from us, on where the residential is. Again, a condemned building, boarded up, looked like they had some kind of fire some time ago, and you have a couple of residents back to the back. This is what's behind us on the same side, a little bit of commercial back there. None of this was open when I was there. I'm not sure if it's still functioning or not. This is our site. Our site consisted of a wig shop and an automotive repair facility, and a whole lot of empty parking lot. When my up until recently, the wig shop was still functioning for a while. It closed quite some time ago and is now vacant. This is the auto repair shop on our block, on our site also, which remains vacant. And this is the site looking from the back of ours up to the site. I appreciate you giving me the time to go through all of that, but I do want to say, I think it is evident that there is no development in the corridor that we are talking about building in. There is no neighborhood, particularly in this neighborhood, in the corridor, in the area, in the corridor we are building in. It is a commercial corridor that is incredibly void of both people and of commercial development. The only development, the only new development in the vicinity of our property is a four-story apartment building three blocks away, built directly across the street from our parking lot. And I do think that 10 additional feet that we are requesting, though is a four-story, 10 additional feet is hardly perceptible from the ground. And it will allow us, again, to have freedom of unit size, freedom of floor heights, allow a price point that will allow enough units that will allow us to have, you know, potentially an elevator in the site. And I just believe that this project will be anything but injurious to the neighborhood or injurious to the surrounding property owners. It is desperately needed in this area. The next condition is special conditions, whether they're circumstances particular to our land and structures. The staff mentions that all of these requests are simply design choices and the property can be developed and doesn't have any special features. I would note that I believe that the special feature that is peculiar to this lot is the fact that it is in fact an entire city block. There aren't that many full city block pieces of property available in the city of Savannah. The size of this site and the fact that it's an entire city block facing four streets allows it to be appropriate for something of this scale. It allows us the ability to move and build something of this size. I acknowledge that in mid-city, if we were building on an interior lot on a side street, the four stories might not be appropriate between some residences or other buildings in mid-city. This subject property was added to mid-city in 2018 as part of the development of the four-story apartment building that's being built three blocks down. And I just don't think that what we're proposing to do is inappropriate for this particular lot, and that's what makes it unique is its size and its location, and unfortunately the blight that surrounds it. We think that this additional story will incentivize renewal and will allow this to be constructed to incentivize renewal in the surrounding area. The next one is literal interpretation. Well, the literal interpretation deprive the applicant of rights that are commonly enjoyed by other properties in the zoning district under the terms of the ordinance and create an unnecessary hardship. To that, I would say that the size of project we are developing is the exact size of the project that is being developed three blocks away from us. I do think that allowing this does allow us to be treated the same as our adjacent neighbor who is doing development and bringing good development to the area. And our size and scale is specifically and intentionally consistent with theirs. Next one is, do we ask for the minimum variance to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish? We do believe we requested the minimum variance. I'd agree that 10 feet is, again, I think it's imperceptible from the ground. We will have an additional four story, but again, it's consistent with the neighboring project. And the last one is, would the variance confer special privilege on the applicant, not conferred to others? We do not believe this is the case. We do not believe this is a special privilege. We believe it's the exact same privilege that was afforded to the adjacent project, and that it will cause no undue hardship to our neighbors or to any of the surrounding properties. As was mentioned by Marcus, there was an amendment done. The history of this corridor is that in 2002, the SDRA did a large study, and their main focus was trying to get development inside of the MLK Montgomery corridor. That study was adopted by council in 2002, and for a couple of decades after, essentially nothing happened in this area. In 2018, because I was here at a different meeting for the MPC, Harold Yellen, my colleague, was before the board and then before city council trying to get the project approved at 1501, three blocks from us, and pointed out the fact that we've got this overlay district for the MLK Martin Luther King corridor, but there are no actual incentives for anyone to do anything. This is a incentivized district, an enterprise zone, whatever you want to call it, and there is no actual incentive for anyone to do anything, and nothing's happened. And so at that time, the ordinance was amended and added this four story, and which is great. And the trade-off was you get the four story, but we're going to pull you into mid-city, make this part of the historic mid-city neighborhood, even though it's not. And then you'll be subject to design review and all these other things that come along with mid-city ordinance. So that's what was done. And then also it incorporated a Victorian district as well. And so when NUZO happened a year later, the failure to include the four stories in mid-city was just an accident. It was a sheer accident. I don't know if y'all attend the MPC meetings, but the MPC heard a proposal to add it back to the ordinance to correct the error and approved it unanimously. And city council did not vote to deny it. They just sent it back to MPC to do further study. I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know what they're going to ultimately do or not do. But the reality is that this four-story ability was put in place in this corridor specifically for projects exactly like this, to incentivize people to do development in the corridor, which is what we want to do. And we don't want to be punished by the fact that an error was made that prevents that provision from being in the ordinance. It is in the ordinance for the Victorian. You can build, if you look at the map and you go up and down the corridor, you can build four stories in the corridor. All this area is already four stories, as I pointed out earlier. You can build four stories all the way through the Victorian district, all the way down. There's a four-story project being built three blocks from us right here, and this is where our project is. So I show that just to show this is the function of an error in the documents, and this is not something that is out of scale of what is allowed in the surrounding area. And I think the two, just to finish up on height, and we'll talk about parking briefly, I think the two most important things to think about when you're going through these variances are, is it going to cause harm to the neighborhood or the surrounding properties? I don't see any definition where you could look at that question and think that it is going to harm the surrounding properties of the surrounding property owners. And then is it contradictory to or out of bounds compared to other nearby development? And the only nearby development there is, this property is going to be nearly identical to, except for that it's smaller and, as mentioned, prepares provides additional parking. And so with that, we would ask you to approve our height request. As it relates to parking, our second variance, and I'm lucky for y'all, I only have one set of pictures for this. And I do appreciate y'all bearing with me. I know this is a lot. As we talk about parking, we have two variances, as was mentioned. One is relief from the distance requirement for our remote parking lot. We're allowed to do it at 300 feet. We're asking to do it at about 760 feet. As mentioned, as the project is designed, we will have 25 on-site parking spaces within the building. We are asking to provide an additional 40 spaces at 1508. This is the layout of the project. Again, two residential units out on the street so that you're not looking at it. This is really an ideal parking lot site. And the reason is, and a little bit answers some of Ms. Jarrett's questions, which were, it's not all facing Montgomery. So we have the ability to kind of hide this. And also the 31st Street lane down here is a fully functioning paved road and everything else, but it's also not very heavily used. There's not a bunch of residences lined up on there. There's no traffic on that road. And the layout this laid here, this is just a schematic, but ultimately the parking space sizes and the entry and drive sizes meet the requirements of the code. And so we're not asking for variances for those development standards. It meets the requirements for the city for the parking that we're requesting. Again, the distance about 760 feet, staff mentioned, is a 2 to 3 minute walk. It is located directly across from the other four-story apartment building. There will be lots of people in the area. And now we have a beautiful new police station that is the only real thing in between our parking lot and our project. And so there's a lot of safety. Any safety concerns should be resolved by the fact that the police station is there. As mentioned by staff, you know, this is less than 800 feet. I think it's worth mentioning that in the historic district, the standard is 1,300 feet. So we're still, we could do this in the historic district easily. I would argue that this property is not all that different. The area is not all that different. And the distance of a walk and the burden on someone for having to walk is certainly not all that different. Marcus mentioned that there are very little parking on the street, and as if it's a negative in some way. You know, I've asked for a lot of parking variances over the years, and when there's lots of cars parked in the street, the negative is that there's lots of cars parked in the street and that there's nowhere to park, and then you're going to cause a bigger problem. And now we've got an area where there is literally no cars in the street. And the argument is, well, no one's going to use the remote parking because they're going to park on the street because there's all these spaces available. And I think the spaces available is a huge benefit in why all of this works, along with a couple other items which address the reduction in the parking. So prior to NUZO, I believe it was NUZO when it was adopted, you could actually count on-street parking spaces in Mid-City. So back in 2018, when the project down three blocks down was done, they were able to count the 30 parking spaces surrounding their block as their parking, okay? So they have essentially a variance for 30 spaces that they're providing on-street. What we're asking for is to provide 20 spaces on-street. As mentioned by staff, it is rarely used. This is the quote from staff is that on-street parking is rarely used because there are a lack of active uses in the area. That's a telling statement. There are a lack of active uses in the area. There's a lack of parking in the area. We had Thomas and Hutton go out and do car counts. And they went around and looked at east side, west side, all the way around the block. The most cars that were ever parked on the east side or the west side of either side of the four sides of our block was 8. And they looked between 3 and 8 o'clock. I will note that the days that that was heavy, 8 being heavy out of maybe 60 spaces, was the day before St. Patrick's Day, which perhaps is the reason why. I was curious about this, so I went and did my own count this week, very unscientific. I rode over there on my way to work every morning by 8 o'clock because I was curious whether or not people were parking there for residents, overnight parking. So we rode out there at 8 o'clock every morning this week. The most number of cars that I saw parked up against our block on our side of the street was 1. Any day this week at 8 o'clock in the morning. If you count on the opposite side of the street, the most total was 4. So at one point there were 3 other cars on the other side of the street. As you'll see in this diagram, it's kind of hard to read, but we have some 660 feet of linear space completely surrounding our property. That allows us to have potentially up to 32 parking spaces around the building, probably realistically less than 30, but certainly more than 20. And given the fact that there is very little, if ever, any parking around our lot, we think it's reasonable for us to believe that we can park our site 20 spaces short, if you will, with the abundance of parking that surrounds is not, there are no meters. It goes in every direction down every street. There are tons of parking spaces around us. And it's a unique condition, again, of our project that it's a whole block. And so we're not taking parking away from anyone. There's no other business on our block that would be using that parking otherwise. And there's nobody using it otherwise now. And so we do believe that because we are a complete city block, we're not displacing anyone or displacing anyone's parking spaces. Lastly on this, I do want to compare a little bit our project to the project down the street. I'm going to flip this back over. This is the details for parking on our project and the details for parking on 1501, which is completely approved and under construction. I want to note first that both projects are on two CAT bus lines, the number 25 and the number 4. One runs down Montgomery, one runs down MLK. They're also both located on the yellow route for SCAD. So the extent we have SCAD students in our buildings, we are on the SCAD bus route. Both projects are likely to have many bikers and many pedestrians. You will see here their total unit count is 135. In 2018, when they got this approved, they had to have a space for every 1,000 square foot of area of the property. And so the total number of spaces required were 110. They have 80 on site, and they have 30 that they're using on street. So ultimately, their off-street parking is 0.59 spaces per unit for their development. Again, larger development than ours, less parking. Our project, also 4 stories, it's actually 85 units. Off-street parking, 65 units. Okay, that includes our remote parking lot, includes our 25 spaces on site, and then we would have 20 spaces available to us on street. That gives us 0.77 spaces per unit. So even though I understand and I acknowledge that the ordinance has changed, I acknowledge the fact that they don't let you count on street parking anymore, the reality is 3 blocks down, we've got a project that is larger than ours that is providing less spaces per unit and is fully approved. And so we don't believe that our request on the parking variance is out of bounds. We do believe it is in line with our neighbor. We do believe it is consistent with treating us in the same manner in which they were treated. And we hope that y'all will consider these variances individually, but look at this project as a whole also, and look at these items as incentives to bring development to an area that desperately, desperately needs it. The request and variance will help make this a better project. It will help make this project and the amount of investment. Y'all know, I'm sure, that doing a construction project in town is very expensive. Doing a construction project of this scale, an entire block, is very expensive. And all of these variants will help make that a reality. And so with that, I will conclude my presentation on my 3 variances and would ask for your support for the request.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lynch, are you going to speak?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
I've got a few.
All right, Mr. Plunk, you go first.
First, I want to remark that I totally agree with the importance of high density in this area. I know this area well, and I think it could really revitalize some of the commercial interests in this district if you suddenly have these 2 developments going forward. Speaking of the adjacent development, did it have to come before this board and seek similar variances, and were those granted? And that might be a question for staff.
Yeah, I don't believe they had variances. I believe, again, they put the overlay in place through the development of that project that allowed
so it,
the four
it came
story.
Forward during the time when it
was all
been
part
allowed.
Of the same thing. They didn't come for variances because they rewrote the ordinance based on that project. And so they realized they have no incentive in the area. They added the 4 story, which allowed them to have the 4 story. And at the time, you could count on street parking spaces.
Right.
And so they did not have to ask for a variance because the ordinance itself was amended for the corridor to allow that being the first project in the corridor to happen.
Right. Gotcha. So they just got in during that time period.
Which only ended up being like a year.
Right. So if you were coming forward with the same project in 2018, the only variance you would be seeking would be the added distance between your remote lot and the primary property.
That is
you would
correct.
Not have needed height. You would not have needed the parking variance. And if you were a few blocks further north, you wouldn't actually need the remote variance either, because you'd be in the historic district. Is that all correct?
That is all correct.
The lot, it's just going to be a, the remote lot is just a surface lot. There's no coverage or anything like that. It's just, but it's blocked from the street by the, these two housing. Right. There's crosswalks on that street. I do believe I saw that. So that's not an issue. It's permitted parking in that remote lot as well.
Yes,
I would imagine.
Yes, the lot is, will be owned by the same entity that owns the multifamily project, and it will stay together as a, as one.
Gotcha. I think that was all I had.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Karen Jarrett here.
Go ahead, Mrs. Jarrett.
I do have questions about the parking. I do not believe I have seen an 8-foot parking space in any application that I have looked at so far. The other site you have is an 8.5-foot space. You do have some 9-foot spaces. 9-foot spaces are reasonable. 18 feet for the length of the parking is a little bit shy as well from normal standards, but I think 18 feet is an acceptable amount. The turning in and out of the drive is of concern to me, not so much where you're on 31st Street Lane, because at least there you don't have a great deal of traffic, and 35th Street, you won't have a great deal of traffic, but you will have more traffic, and you will have situations where you have conflicts between vehicles coming in and vehicles coming out, and that concerns me. As far as the other property that was under consideration, I believe that other property brought forward a development plan that was completed. They gave us a pattern book that said, this is what we're going to use. This is how we're going to do it. We have met with the homeowners in the area, the neighborhood association in the area. I haven't heard that any neighborhood association meeting's been held here. And I don't know what you're going to build. You've shown us some pictures, but you've not said, this is what we're going to build. And you've not committed yourself to building anything specific. Can you tell me if you have met with the homeowners association?
We have not met with the homeowners association. I believe that they were notified in connection with what we are doing. I also believe, obviously, that all the surrounding neighbors were notified as well. I did not know until today that there had been any comments at all, until the one that was most recently received. I have not had anyone reach out to me at all about the project. And so, no, we have not met with the neighborhood association. Again, this is a heavily commercial area, immediately surrounds us. Most of our neighbors are vacant. And to my knowledge, until today, I think a block or so away, we hadn't had any comments. This is what I can show you with regard to the project. Part of the problem with the project is, and I don't remember what level of plans were shown at the time that that project came through, but one, we don't know whether we're going to have a 4-story building or not until we get out of here today. So I'm oftentimes put in this situation of having to say, my client doesn't want to pay Andy tens of thousands of dollars to design a building that we can't build. And if we don't have remote parking, we don't have a parking variance, and we're not allowed to have a height variance, and our project is obviously going to look very different. So what Mr. Lynch has prepared is conceptuals and figure out a way to lay it out on the site, which is what we've shown here. I know it was brief when we rolled through it, so I'll show it again. This is the lot layout, the site plan, if you will, for entrances and exits and where the units will be laid and where the parking will be laid. This is the massing diagram that shows the size of the building and how it will be laid out on the project. He did supply these as conceptual comparatives of other projects. Obviously, the project down the street is also a good comparative as to what it's going to look like. It's a very similar layout and a very similar project designed by the same architect. And so, you know, I do want to note that one thing that's good about this, I understand there's not a full design done. The good news is we are in the Mid-City District. We were added to the Mid-City District in 2018. And because of that, we have to go through what I'm sure Mr. Lynch would say is a fairly rigorous process of getting our plans completely approved by the Preservation Commission, who will oversee everything that we're doing. And any of our parking spaces and parking lots and turning radiuses will all have to meet the requirements of the city of Savannah. And I will note, the one thing that is mentioned in the Montgomery Street corridor, I believe, is that the turn-ins and turnouts out of the project have to be 20 feet wide, can be only be 20 feet wide, and they have to be spaced a certain distance apart. That's actually a requirement, unless Marcus corrects me, I believe, in the Montgomery MLK corridor. It requires you to have 20-foot wet spaces. So that's what we're doing. Everything we'll do will both meet city requirements as well as have to be passed for a COA.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Mr. Hall or Mr. Griffith, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. At this time, we invite any public comment. If you're tuning in online, if you'll use the raise your hand feature, we'll recognize you. Okay, there's no public comment. Then this time we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I do have some serious concerns about the fact that what he's asking for is parking spaces that are really tiny. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to pull into an 8.5-foot parking space, much less an 8-foot parking space, but it would be extremely difficult. They need every bit of that 26-foot wide aisle that they do have in between the parking spaces. It seems to me that we could come out either with a different mix of units to reduce the parking and fit more in, or redesign the parking. And having the secondary parking more than 1.5 times the distance that is permitted is just, I certainly wouldn't want my car to be parked so far away that I wouldn't be able to hear an alarm if the alarm went off. And that's really all I have.
Hey, Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Nothing further from me, no.
Okay, Mr. Griffith?
No, thank you.
Mr. Condon?
Nothing.
Mr. Hall?
No, sir.
Think that as we get ready to entertain a motion, maybe let's treat this as three different things, because they're asking for three different things. They're asking for the height variance, they're asking for a distance from the remote parking variance, and a parking space variance.
Agreed.
So whoever makes the motion, if you will, please keep that in mind.
I'd like to move to accept the request for variance for the remote parking lot.
Okay. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the request for variance for the distance to the remote parking lot. Is there a second?
Second.
Right, is there any discussion on this motion? All right, hearing none, then Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote on the motion?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion passes and the variance for the distance to the remote parking is accepted. Is there another motion?
Motion to accept the petitioner's request for the height variance.
Okay, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the request for variance for the height. Is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
No.
All right, Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion for the height variance has passed and the variance is granted. And then there would be one more part to this if someone would like to make a motion for the parking spaces, the variance on the amount of parking spaces.
I make a motion that we approve the applicant for the number of spaces.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the request for variance on the number of parking spaces. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay, that motion also passes, and the part of that variance for the number of parking spaces is passed. All right, that brings us to the next item on the agenda. 2424 Fort Argyle Road, height variance 21-004360. Marcus, when you get a report, do you have any idea when this area was annexed by the city?
Oh, I'm sorry. You've moved on to the next one. Yeah.
I was surprised this wasn't part of the county as far out as it is.
Yeah, this has been a number of years now associated with the New Hampstead development. Okay. There hasn't been a lot that's going on out there in the last 8 or 9 years, but it's starting to happen now. Okay. But yeah, this is all city of Savannah. And so, Mr. Chairman, this item, which is a request for a height variance, as you mentioned, this property is well outside the core of the city, but it is part of the New Hampstead planned development area. And so if you're familiar, the property is, which is located at 2442 Fort Argyle Road, it's about 6 miles west of I-95. 204 turns into Fort Argyle Road and goes out toward the county line, but I'll show you here in a second kind of what we're looking at. So this is an exhibit of the New Hampstead planned development area. So Fort Argyle Road, which runs along here and connects with Highway 204, Highway 17 is to the south of here. This is Highgate Boulevard. There are a number of residential developments taking place out here right now and plan to take place out here in the future. Most of what you see on this map has not been developed yet, but the subject property is located right here as a reference point. It's about a 30-acre site. This is a closer in tax map of the subject property at the corner of Highgate Boulevard and Fort Argyle Road. Southeast corner of that intersection. And the one thing that is very noticeable out here is that it's basically still all wooded, except for a couple of the residential developments that have already underway, but there are several others that are coming soon, so to speak. So the petitioner is requesting a 15-foot height variance from the 45-foot height maximum for the development of a, what I'm going to describe as a film industry office complex and a soundstage theater at that location, at that 30-acre site. If it's approved, the maximum permitted height would then be 60 feet over the 45-foot current maximum. As I mentioned, the property is at the southeast corner of the intersection of Fort Argyle Road and Highgate Boulevard. It is undeveloped currently, and it is within the New Hampstead planned development and has a commercial designation. Go back here. So Highgate Boulevard, which you see here, which extends from Fort Argyle Road over to Little Neck Road, is a 140-foot right-of-way, a four-lane road. And Fort Argyle Road, which is down here, has a 100-foot right of way. Per the New Hampstead development guidelines, a 50-foot buffer is required to be maintained along both of those roadways, absent the entrance, of course. The development in the vicinity is in the process of converting from rural to suburban, with a number of single and multifamily residential developments underway in the area. The eastern and northern boundaries of the site abut property, which is identified on the master plan as a future multifamily development. So that would be here in this area. Per their guidelines and that proposed multifamily, there is already a minimum 100-foot buffer that applies between those uses. The applicant has agreed to an additional 100-foot setback along the northern and eastern property lines for any buildings taller than 35 feet, should this variance be approved. The height variance request really is about the development of the site and the particular use that they're requesting. and he'll probably, the applicant will get into this in a little more detail, but because it's a soundstage and studio space, a portion of the building at least, of a building on the site, I should say, they have suggested that that additional height is required for acoustics and other reasons to accommodate that space. As I mentioned, the maximum permitted height is 45 feet. The abutting multifamily designated property also permits a maximum height of 45 feet, but is currently undeveloped. Because no site plan has been submitted, staff cannot verify where on the property or to what extent the proposed variance would be applied. And because it's a 30-acre site, it's likely to be developed with multiple buildings. Although unlikely, if approved in terms of the height variance without conditions, the entire area other than that 200-foot setback area and buffer area would be subject to the maximum height if a variance is adopted. Because of that, here's essentially what the proposal is. As I mentioned, along Highgate Boulevard, which is here, there's already an existing 50-foot buffer required to be maintained, and along Fort Argyle Road. There's an existing 100-foot undisturbed buffer that is required because this is adjacent to multifamily. What the petitioner is proposing and has agreed to is an additional setback located here, whereas no building over 35 feet in height would be permitted to be located within that setback. So what you would have basically is, if the additional height is requested is approved, it would only be allowed outside of that setback and buffer on the interior of the property, and inside the setback along both Highgate and Fort Argyle Road. I should also mention that both the applicant and staff have had conversations with the New Hampstead Property Owners Association. They have provided a agreement essentially of support for the development, a letter from them dated August 20th. The purpose of the letter is from the NHPOA, the New Hampstead Property Owners Association. They're supportive of both the development and the requested variance. Although they're not approving the variance, that is this body's task, but they are in support of it. In terms of our recommendation, and I want to go through this because there's some conditions that we're proposing in addition to what the applicant has agreed to. Staff is recommending approval of the height variance. We are recommending that if approved, these conditions apply, that the 100-foot undisturbed buffer shall be required adjacent to the northern and eastern property lines, that no building over 35 feet in height be located within 200 feet of the northern and eastern property lines, and that the requested variance shall only apply to one building on site. And if the applicant proposes multiple buildings that exceed the maximum height, a variance for those buildings would also be required in order to achieve that. Finally, should the land use designation change to residential, this variance will not apply to the residential buildings on site. These last two conditions were recommended by staff. We've seen over the years some of the land uses change in master plans like this, and we wanted to ensure that if the board does take action to approve this, that it applies to what is being requested and not a future development, since the variances typically go with the land. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Are there any questions for staff?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mrs. Jarrett.
Can you verify that the exhibit that you provide with the packet is the same exhibit that the letter refers to?
Can you tell me which exhibit you're referring to?
Well, the letter refers to the attached exhibit, and you provided an exhibit that showed setbacks and undisturbed buffers. It is the same.
Let me go back to that. Yes, that is the same exhibit that the applicant, I'm sorry, the Property Owners Association actually provided that exhibit. So
thank
that
you.
Would be the correct exhibit. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, then if the petitioner will please come forward.
I've got one on this one too, yeah. It's not on here, but I sent you one that says New Hampstead this morning. Okay, no problem. Thank you, Robert McCorkle again for the petitioner. I'll be slightly more brief than I was the first time. This again, pretty exciting project. This one's got a lot of people other than me excited about it and my client excited about it. We have significant amount of support from CETA and the Savannah Film Commission, as well as various legislators and other people, because as y'all know, as tax credits have become available in the state of Georgia, particularly the film industry has become a big deal everywhere around in this area, particularly in Savannah. And the purpose of this project is to basically create a film industry office complex, sound studio, theater. They're going to incorporate tours to the public, probably a restaurant, office space for visiting film crews. The idea is that it would be kind of home base for visiting film production crews, because most of them come from California and other places, and they have to live here for a certain amount of time and have offices here and work here for a certain amount of time before or during the production, which usually takes many months and sometimes years. And so that doesn't exist in Savannah right now. There is no home base for this. Everybody's kind of spread out all over town trying to find office space, and there is no sound stage, not a real sound stage in town or anything like that. The issue for the height variance is that kind of U.S. film industry standards is that the stage needs to be 60 feet in height. And they're all kind of built in a similar manner, the same height. And so that's what the purpose of the request. The good news is that the site is 30 acres. This is a big piece of property. It's already zoned. It's in a commercial portion of the PUD. On the question on New Hampstead was approved years and years ago, pre-recession. And the city and the original developer spent millions of dollars moving water and sewer way out there because it didn't exist at the time. And shortly after all that was done, the recession hit, and that land, this huge piece of property, has been sitting there not being developed for years. Since the recession ended, however, there are a whole lot of rooftops being built out there. The master developer for the project, who is in support of our project, is selling off sections of New Hampstead to residential developers who are building their own little neighborhoods all inside this huge project. So amazingly, though, it seems like it's really far out, it is going to be a huge neighborhood with thousands of rooftops in it. A lot of people out in the area, which is going to bring additional development around. But the size of this particular lot and the fact that it is on the very edge of New Hampstead and backs up to a portion of New Hampstead that is set for multifamily at 45 feet, it's a good site for this particular project. It allows us to have significant buffering, which was mentioned by Marcus. This was at the request, the additional buffering was at the request of the master developer, who is also the homeowners association. And so before we even, when we first started this process of coming for the variance, we went to them because they're ultimately the ones who have to approve all the plans from the neighborhood and the PUD purposes. And so we went to them and they asked us to provide an additional buffer for 200 feet for any of the taller buildings. And so we agreed to do that. We don't believe that the building itself or the project will be visible from any of from the adjacent properties. Shouldn't have any effect on the adjacent neighbors because of the buffering. Again, we have the support of the HOA and the master developer on the project. We also have wide-ranging community support, and we have staff support. And so with that, I will be brief as possible and just ask for your recommendation for approval.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Mr. McCorkle, good morning.
Good morning.
You're okay with the proposal that Marcus and his team has put together?
The conditions, yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, the general answer is yes. My only concern about the conditions, if I have one, is the condition that we would have to come back every time we have an additional, if we have more than one building, if we end up chopping this thing up into multiple buildings. In my mind, for what it's worth, if we're agreeing to the buffers and we're buffering the property back, neither the neighborhood association or the master developer asked us to limit it to a singular building. I don't know that there would be more than a singular building. I have no idea, but it seems a little bit difficult for us to have to come back and then pay lawyers and us go through this process. And every time we want to add a building to the site, if we're going to buffer it for 200 feet and 60 feet is appropriate for our project, I would think it would be appropriate whether we happen to have one building that size or two buildings that size, as long as they meet all the setback requirements. So I say that to say, in a perfect world, I would like to avoid that of the conditions so we don't keep coming back if we end up changing our project. But in general, yes, we're fine with the conditions. And we created the plat with this, with the buffers and offered it up and have agreed to it.
The coming back would only be in the case if the building exceeded the height limit. Otherwise, you would,
that's right,
by right, be able to develop it as you will.
That's correct.
Any other
questions? I think it says 35 feet and 45 feet is allowed. So technically, we would have to come back even if it was something that was permitted.
So that would be putting a condition on you that's above and beyond the ordinance.
I think the way it's it reads is.
So Mr. Lawton, weigh in on that.
Yes, ma'am. So the current condition, let's see, the way this reads, the requested variance shall only apply to one building on site. If the applicant proposes multiple buildings that exceed the maximum height, then a variance would be required. The maximum height is 45 feet.
Okay, thank you.
Again, we can certainly live with it if y'all think that's appropriate, and otherwise we just ask for approval.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, is there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you're online, if you'll use the raise your hand feature and indicate that, we'll recognize you. Mrs. Beaver, would you like to speak?
Ms. Beaver, it seems you're muted. Could you unmute yourself, please?
Okay, Mrs. Beaver, if we're having trouble hearing you. We're not hearing you at all. Okay. She's doing what? Oh, okay.
I think I'm going to just try to interpret Mrs. Bieber's question a little bit here from the chat. She was asking if the applicant had contacted the West Chatham Community Watch, which is a community organization in this part of the county. It's not a neighborhood group, but I just spoke to Mr. McCorkle. He has not spoken to that organization. I think he's not familiar with that organization, but just for the record, that is not part of the requirement of, you know, the variance process.
Well, and his project's been properly posted, I'm assuming. So if they had concern, they would have sent word. Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Any more members of the public that would like to speak? Okay, no one else. So then at this time, we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk? Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
And Mr. Hall?
No.
Okay. Well, the chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve staff recommendation for the proposed variance.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the variance with staff recommendations. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second.
Mr. Plunk, are there any discussions on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is granted with conditions. If there's nothing else, then we'll call this meeting adjourned.